Now, breaking news from WRAL. Coverage you can count on.
We're following two huge breaking news stories here at noon. We now have a list of the weapons and other items police found with the accused Headingham shooter.
And just a short time ago, we've also learned when sports fans can legally place bets on their phone or electronic devices.
And the warm-up is here. Our temperatures are climbing into the 60s. We could hit 70s soon. I'll show you when we could be close to record highs.
We begin with breaking news. In the Headingham shooting investigation, a newly returned search warrant shows what FBI agents found inside the shed where the accused shooter was arrested. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. Austin Thompson is accused of killing five people, including his own brother, on October 13th, 2022. WRL's Chelsea Donovan broke this story regarding the search warrant today. Chelsea, you've gone carefully through the eight-page warrant and found a lengthy list of ammunition and weapons that were seized that day.
That's right, Renee, but let's refresh your memory on this case. It was late last year that a judge inside this courthouse ruled that Austin Thompson, who was 15 at the time of his arrest, would be tried as an adult in the Headingham mass shooting case. Now, as you know, Thompson is accused of killing five people, including a police officer, his own brother, and others in the Greenway in East Raleigh's neighborhood. You're looking at body cam video from Raleigh police that showed when he was captured after a standoff near McConnell Oliver Drive, which is just a few blocks away from Headingham. Now, let's show you here some of the items. This is a newly released search warrant that shows what FBI agents seized from the shed where he was hiding out. Among those items listed, a shotgun, $772 in cash, multiple pistols, projectiles, knives, rifles, rifle magazines, shell casing, ammunition rounds, and bullets. Now, I just got done speaking with District Attorney Lauren Freeman, who says this case, as you know, is one of top priority to her office, one that has a massive amount of evidence to sift through.
It is a case that, you know, we have taken very seriously from the beginning. It is one that brings, you know, additional challenges just from the standpoint of the number of victims involved in this case, the fact that it was a multi-agency law enforcement response.
Now, as far as the trial for Austin Thompson, Lauren Freeman says that's at least a year out. Now, we still can't exactly confirm where Austin Thompson got the guns and the ammunition, but we should note that late last year, his father, Alan Thompson, was actually charged with the crime of not properly storing a firearm in which it would be accessible to a minor. Of course, we'll have more updates on this story in our later newscast.
Chelsea Donovan with this new information on the Headingham shooting. Thank you.
Now on to our other breaking news story of the hour. Sports fans will now legally be able to place mobile bets in North Carolina just in time for March Madness. A short time ago, the NC Lottery Commission announced gambling on your phone will start March 11th. WRL's Destiny Patterson joins us live with what is next, Destiny?
Well, Jeff, we're going to miss the Super Bowl, but this will be ready in time for some basketball like the ACC basketball tournament and, of course, March Madness, as you mentioned. Now, the commissioners came to an agreement on this date within just about 20 minutes. The launch date is specifically for mobile sports betting, so things like your phone, computer, in-person betting will take a little bit longer because those rules will need to be better put in place, like how money is stored. This comes after months of working out regulations and logistics for the new way to bet in the state.
But I'm not sure they could have gone much faster than they have. I think given North Carolina's love of college basketball, getting it launched before March Madness, before the conference tournaments, is really a good look for the state.
Now the attention turns to licensing. Nine operators have put in applications to be able to take in those bets for mobile sports betting, and we'll just have to see how many of those are approved by that March 11th date. Jeff.
I'll be excited for March Madness. All right. Destiny Patterson live for us this noon. Destiny, thank you.
The warm-up is here. Temperatures will be well above normal all this week, but there is also more rain coming. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is at the WRL Weather Patio with a look at our warmer, wetter pattern. Elizabeth.
I'll tell you what, it feels really nice standing here. And the sun is trying to peek through. We've been looking up. There's a little bit of blue trying to shine through. But for the most part, it is going to be a gray day for us. And you can see that in Durham, too, as we take a look at the camera there. Looking over the DBAP, you can tell it's gray, but there's a little bit of blue that's trying to peek through as well. It is warm out here. It's 67 degrees. We have a wind out of the southeast at about 10 miles per hour. That's really pushing that warm air into the region, and that's going to happen for the next several days. Looking at 55 in Roxborough right now, but 68 in Fayetteville. We're easily going to hit 70 in Fayetteville this afternoon. It's already 67 in the Triangle, 65 in Goldsboro, 64 degrees in Rocky Mount. So it is warm out there, and our temperatures are anywhere from 10 to 15, 17 degrees in some places, warmer than it was this time yesterday. So we are on a roll with those temperatures warming on up. And we do have a little bit of patchy rain that's been out to our west. We've seen a little bit of that early this morning as well. So that little patch of rain that's right around Greensboro is likely to dissipate before it rolls through here, but we could see an isolated shower. That's not completely out of the question. We take a look at Futurecast, and you can see just a little bit of rain back to the west, but as it tries to move into our area through the afternoon, it just really doesn't make it here. So cloudy skies for us, but really not looking at much of a chance for any rain. Our temperatures, of course, will be on the side for the next few days, and our chance for rain is going up. We'll walk through the chances Thursday, Friday, and Saturday coming up.
Elizabeth, thanks. Fire tore through an apartment community under construction in Apex. Sky 5 flew over the Stone Glen Apartments off Apex Peakway this morning around 9. The buildings were set to be finished this summer. Since there are no residents there yet, there were no injuries. Firefighters say there's water damage to some of the first floor units and fire damage to the second and third floor units. They're looking into what started the fire. Investigators are working to determine the cause of an early morning fire in Zebulon. We're told the fire started at a home on Glen Street near Arundel Avenue just before 6 this morning. Everyone made it out okay. Video from the WRL Breaking News Tracker shows you the damage to a room at the front of the home.
We're working to learn more about a mess for drivers in Henderson this morning. WRL's Brian Schrader joins us now with a crash that shut down a major road there.
Jeff, we just learned that Andrews Avenue still is closed and it may not reopen until later this afternoon. Take a look at what happened. Sky 5 was live over the scene during our morning newscast. It appears this vehicle crashed into a utility pole there on Andrews Avenue near Eaton Street. Crews spent the morning working to repair the pole and the downed lines, and it appears as though that work continues here at noon. We're working to learn more about exactly what led to this crash and whether anyone was hurt. Until they're able to reopen Andrews Avenue, consider using East Avenue as an alternate route there near downtown Henderson.
All right, Brian, thanks for that update. We're also working to learn the cause of a crash in North Raleigh during the morning rush hour. Sky 5 flew over the Falls of Neuse Road and Old Falls of Neuse Road around 8 this morning. This is what it saw. Video shows the truck on its side there. We can also see a few police officers on that scene. The driver's name and condition have not been released.
Boeing CEO David Calhoun says passengers should feel safe flying in the planes his company manufactures, despite that close call with an Alaska Airlines flight. Lucas Tomlinson reports Calhoun is headed to Capitol Hill today, where he'll meet with senators to discuss issues about the 737 MAX 9.
More than 2 weeks after a door plug blew out on an Alaska Airlines flight, Boeing CEO Dave Calhoun is meeting with a bipartisan group of senators on Capitol Hill Wednesday. Last week, the Federal Aviation Administration briefed lawmakers on investigations into the incident, but they still have questions.
We don't put airplanes in the air that we don't have 100% confidence in. I'm here today in the spirit of transparency.
The Boeing 737 MAX 9s remain grounded, but the trouble continues for the company's other jets.
Oh my God, it's on fire. Oh my God.
On Thursday, people in South Florida watched this 747 cargo plane flown by Atlas Air spew flames into the sky over Miami. Then on Tuesday, a nose tire fell off a Delta Boeing 757 right before takeoff. Experts say that was likely due to a maintenance issue. Still, airlines are growing frustrated. Alaska Airlines will continue to fly an all-Boeing fleet, but plans to send in its own team to inspect production.
Boeing is better than this, Flight 1282 should never have happened. Should never have happened.
As for United Airlines, CEO Scott Kirby says while the carrier will not cancel orders, the company is creating a longer-term plan for its fleet that does not include Boeing's 737 MAX 10.
That was Lucas Tomlinson reporting. Calhoun is meeting with Virginia Senator Mark Warner because Boeing is headquartered in that state. Calhoun is scheduled to meet with three other senators today and tomorrow.
Another big day for stocks as we take a look here. The S&P 500 is trying to set a record for the fourth straight day. It's up 33 points. Dow Jones Industrial Average spent the whole day in positive territory, up 124 right now. NASDAQ is up 171 points this noon. Next at noon, Trump wins New Hampshire and the record number of people who turned out to vote in the first primary.
Also, a Honda recall. Why the company says the rear window is shattering on some of its vehicles.
Plus, vouchers for educational freedom. At 12:30, what parents in North Carolina want to make sure kids go to the school that they want?
Keep watching WRAL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.
Happening right now in the WREL Live Center, we are following some breaking news out of Florida. I want to show you this live view over a plane crash. Two people were killed when a plane went down in the Florida Everglades. You can see authorities here had to get to the wreckage by airboat. Officials believe that the plane left North Perry Airport around 6:30 p.m. last night. It went off the radar. They did not find that plane until this morning. They found the wreckage there. The number of people on board right now is unknown, but we do know that two people have died.
We now know the name of the man who was arrested for a stabbing in Midtown Raleigh. It happened around 9 o'clock last night on Six Forks Road near Industrial Drive. Justin Godfrey is charged with assault with a deadly weapon. A man was treated at a local hospital and is expected to recover. The motive is not clear, but the investigation continues. The man accused of shooting and injuring a man in Holly Springs Ting Park is being held at the Wake County Detention Center. This is video from the scene on Monday. Police say the suspect and the man who was injured arranged to meet at the park to settle some sort of dispute. Investigators say 21-year-old Jose Manuel Hernandez Rodriguez assaulted that man and shot him through the passenger side window before taking off. That man who was shot is in the hospital. Rodriguez was arrested yesterday.
The 2024 New Hampshire Republican primary has set a record for the most votes ever cast in that contest. About 301,000 voters turned out to cast ballots, surpassing the nearly 288,000 ballots cast in the 2016 contest. Former President Trump defeated Nikki Haley, claiming his second win this year. Hallie Jackson reports Haley vows to stay in the race.
This is a great, great state.
Former President Trump overnight on a winning streak and on attack after becoming the only Republican in a competitive primary to win both Iowa and now New Hampshire.
This is not your typical victory speech, but let's not have somebody take a victory when she had a very bad night. Who the hell was the imposter that went up on the stage?
Mr. Trump, clearly furious at former UN Ambassador Nikki Haley's pledge to stay in the race and deny him the party unity he wants, promising to keep up his barrage in her home state.
They will head out to South Carolina, where I think we're going to win easily. But I felt I should do this because I find in life you can't let people get away with bullshit.
The former president, even targeting Haley's appearance at her speech earlier that night.
And when I watched her in the fancy dress, that probably wasn't so fancy.
Haley, speaking soon after the New Hampshire results came in, sharpening her attacks.
With Donald Trump, Republicans have lost almost every competitive election. We lost the Senate. We lost the House. We lost the White House. The worst kept secret in politics is how badly the Democrats want to run against Donald Trump.
And suggesting President Biden may not complete a second term.
A Trump nomination is a Biden win and a Kamala Harris presidency.
Haley winning a majority of self-described moderates in New Hampshire and first-time GOP primary voters. The former president dominating in New Hampshire among core Republican voters, including the majority of self-described conservatives. His march to the nomination appearing on pace despite the multiple indictments he faces. But in New Hampshire, 4 in 10 voters say they'd consider Mr. Trump unfit to be president if convicted.
Do you believe that your legal issues are helping or hurting your campaign, sir?
No, they're fake issues. They're Biden issues. It's all election interference.
That was Hallie Jackson reporting. On the Democratic side, President Biden won New Hampshire's primary as a write-in candidate.
A new report from the American Lung Association says the Biden administration is dragging its feet on a proposed ban on menthol cigarettes and cigars. In October, the FDA sent final rules on the issue to the White House for review, but there has been no action. A timetable for the final menthol rule released last month indicated it would be decided in March. Researchers estimate that a regulation banning menthol cigarettes would save about 654,000 lives over the next 40 years. The American Lung Association gave North Carolina low marks in the report. The state scored Fs in funding for state tobacco prevention programs, strength of smoke-free workplace laws, level of state tobacco taxes, and ending the sale of all flavored tobacco products.
Three players will be inducted into the National Baseball Hall of Fame this year. Adrian Beltre, Joe Mauer, and Todd Helton will all be inaugurated in Cooperstown this summer. This was Beltre and Mauer's first year on the ballot. Candidates can remain on the ballot for up to 10 years as long as they get at least 5% of ballots cast. Longtime manager Jim Leland will also be added to the Hall of Fame. The Durham Bulls have a brand new manager. Morgan Ensberg gets to take over at the AAA level. He was previously the manager for the Montgomery Biscuits. 2023 Bulls manager Michael Johns was promoted to be the Tampa Bay Rays first base coach.
Talking about the boys of summer when it feels like spring outside for sure with these temperatures.
Yeah, and it was just winter a few days ago, and yes, now it is definitely feeling very mild out there. So mild that Elizabeth Gardner decided to step outside and enjoy the 60s right now.
I came with my jacket, and you see that I shed the jacket. Yeah, it feels great out here right now. The sun's trying to peek through the clouds, but it is likely to be pretty gray for us with this particular pattern. Now we're going to see gray skies for the most part today, with a little bit of sunshine trying to peek through. We'll also end up with cloud cover for the next few days, especially as we get into Friday and Saturday, as we'll have a better chance of rain then. Let's take a live look at Fitton and Cary. I love it. There's still some ice skating out there. If you're trying to hit it, you didn't get a chance to get out there and ice skate yet. It's open for about another week and a half. It closes on February the 5th. So coming up on that, and I think it's going to be pretty warm between now and then. But, you know, they've got some magic going on with that ice rink out there. They have been able to hold on to that ice for quite some time. Of course, you know, it was great for it last weekend, but definitely it's going to be tough for the next few days. 67 is our current temperature. Our dew point's 55. 55, of course, that's a number that is a measure of moisture in the atmosphere. So it's starting to feel not what I would call muggy, but you can tell that there's more moisture in the atmosphere. We're going to see our temperature in the triangle climbing up to right around 70 this afternoon in some places. We talked about this a little earlier. We've got just a little bit of light rain that's back across the triad. That's going to try to ease in our direction, but it's not really going to make it here. You can see as we roll through until say 5-6 o'clock, there's nothing that shows up on the radar on Futurecast. And we're likely to be fairly dry tomorrow as well. It looks like late Friday night into Saturday night is when we're going to have the best chance of rain. So it goes up to a 40% chance Friday and a 50% chance on Saturday. But it's not going to rain all day either one of those days. It's 59 right now in Roxboro, but 68 in Fayetteville, 66 in Goldsboro, 68 in Clinton. So it is a warm feeling afternoon. 60, looking at temperatures in the upper 60s around town today, 65 in Durham, 70 in Fayetteville. And of course, we take a look at our big warm up. This is where we're seeing temperatures above normal or below normal. Obviously, the red and the oranges are where we're seeing temperatures above normal. That begins to back off a little bit for next week. Monday and Tuesday, at least of next week, our temperatures will be closer to normal. Our normal is 52. We're looking at 73 for Thursday and Friday, and then back into the 60s over the weekend. It's close to a record, but not quite. 78 is the record for tomorrow and Friday at RDU. We're looking at a high of around 73. You know, we're probably not going to quite get there, but we are awfully close to it. What we might hit is a low, a warm overnight temperature Thursday morning, tomorrow morning 59, and that is the that's the record. On Friday morning 63, and the previous record is 61. So we may end up with a record warm overnight low. After that, the best chance of rain, as I mentioned, is going to be late Friday night, late Saturday night. But it looks like we start to dry out Sunday, and then Monday and Tuesday we're back a little closer to normal. But I'm going to walk you through hour by hour our rain chances for the weekend and how much rain we'll see between now and Monday. Coming up. And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, guess what? Jon Stewart heading back to The Daily Show. He previously hosted the show for 16 years, and today he announced he will be back as host and executive producer. He hosted the show from 1999 until 2015. He signed a deal with Apple in 2015 to host a show for them. That ended last year. He will return to host the show every Monday starting February 12th.
Thanks, Michelle. Clearing up the confusion from the IRS, the new initiative meant to help taxpayers understand notifications from the government.
Plus, hundreds of Honda owners say their rear windows have spontaneously shattered. Coming up, what's behind the problem and when owners can expect repairs.
And from our tower cam here at WRL, right on Western Boulevard, you can see straight across the street the Freedom Expression Tunnel there, NC State campus. Kids scurrying around, going to class. As you watch WRL News, available on Spectrum and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. This spring, Honda plans to issue repairs for one of the SUV's rear windows after reports of shattering. Hundreds of 2023 Honda HR-V owners have filed complaints saying their vehicle's rear windows are unexpectedly breaking. Consumer Reports says during a test of the HR-V, the rear windshield shattered after one of its auto testers warmed up the vehicle using a remote start on a cold morning. Honda says the issue is linked to the vehicle's rear defroster, which can make the glass weaker.
Just 44% of Americans say they can afford a $1,000 emergency expense. More than a third of people surveyed said they would borrow the money in some form to pay for emergencies. This includes financing it with a credit card and paying it off over time, cutting spending on other things, borrowing from friends or family, or taking out a personal loan. The IRS is making it easier for taxpayers to understand letters from the agency. The IRS says it sends nearly 170 million notices to taxpayers each year. But taxpayers say previous notices were too complicated, oftentimes having legal terms and wording that were hard to understand. The new notices will be shorter and clearer to reduce confusion. The IRS will begin accepting tax returns for 2023 on January 29th.
Nintendo is shutting down its online services for the 3DS and the Wii U software. They'll go offline April 8th. This only affects online communication, internet rankings, and data distribution. Users will still be able to play offline. Any unused funds in the eShop will have to be linked to a Nintendo account by March 11th. The Nintendo 3DS launched in 2010 and discontinued in 2020. eBay is joining a list of companies reducing its workforce. The company is laying off 1,000 full-time employees. That represents 9% of the company. eBay also plans to scale back its contracts in the coming months. Amazon, Alphabet, and TikTok also kicked off the quarter with layoffs.
Registration for school vouchers begins next week. The event held today to celebrate school choice.
And to have a look at your winning NC Education Lottery numbers on your screen.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
We start this half hour of WRAL News with parents and students from private schools gathering in Raleigh to celebrate today, National School Choice Week.
And to thank state lawmakers for making school vouchers universally available to all North Carolina families beginning this year. WRAL Capital Bureau Chief Laura Leslie joins us live from the celebration in Raleigh. Laura.
Renee, you can see the celebration is winding down. They're picking up the sets and putting stuff away here. But it was a lively crowd this morning. Registration for school vouchers, of course, opens next week. And for the first time, families can apply for thousands of taxpayer dollars in vouchers, no matter how wealthy they may be. The voucher program started out as a way to help low-income students pay for private or religious schools. Over time, lawmakers raised the income threshold year after year until last year they did away with the income cap entirely. family. Now any family can qualify for a voucher, although lower-income families will still receive larger checks than wealthier families. Senate Leader Phil Berger told the crowd private school enrollment has climbed by 25% over the past 5 years.
Families want options when it comes to the education of their children. Parents should not be restricted by their zip code and certainly should not be restricted by their income when it comes to educating their kids.
Now, meantime, in Nash County yesterday, Governor Roy Cooper called 2024 the year of the public school. He's calling on state lawmakers to stop expanding the voucher program and put the money instead into public schools, from construction and repair to better pay for teachers and staff. Now, the universal voucher program is expected to cost taxpayers, state taxpayers, I should say, billions of dollars this decade. The state lawmakers have been adding more money to it every year. Renee?
Laura Leslie, thank you.
Today, a state task force is working to keep your kids safe in school. A task force for safer schools gathered for its first meeting of the year this morning. The group includes parents, students, teachers, school administrators, law enforcement, and juvenile justice and mental health professionals. They discussed new efforts and training to address student mental health and give updates on the status of statewide school safety programs.
The holiday season is well behind us, and a lot of the sickness that came with those gatherings are slowing down. The number of people being admitted to Triangle hospitals for respiratory illnesses is also trending downward. WRL reporter Laura Levine breaks down the numbers.
The last time we were here at UNC Rex, about a month ago, we heard from health officials sharing those concerns of being overwhelmed by the number of cases of respiratory illnesses. Today, we are expecting to hear from state health leaders to get a number of how many people are fighting illnesses. I can tell you, we did check back in with those local hospitals who share they are seeing less people compared to earlier this year. Check out some of the data that we have received. As of yesterday, Duke Health still had 45 COVID patients, the same number as 2 weeks ago, but flu hospitalizations went down 67%, with 21 patients now being treated. UNC Health saw decreases across all three respiratory illnesses. The biggest was in flu, with a 70% drop in cases and only 8 patients at the start of this week. Wake Med only reported a slight increase in RSV cases, with just 2 additional patients hospitalized over the past 2 weeks. However, Monday was the highest for flu cases in a single day within the past week, with 60 positive flu tests. The highest day for COVID tests within the past week was on Friday with 70. So we will get a better idea of how this looks on a broader scale when that data is released this afternoon. Laura Levine, WRL News in Raleigh.
Over the next few days, you'll likely see teams of people canvassing around Durham. They are part of the annual Point in Time Count, working to identify how many people in the city are experiencing homelessness. In order to secure funding to support outreach and community assistance programs, those groups must first know how many people may require their services. 120 people are expected to volunteer for the canvassing this year.
Raleigh Police Chief Estella Patterson says her department is making progress improving safety downtown. What started in September, police increasing their presence and enforcement in the downtown business and nightlife districts. In the last 3 months of last year, they took more illegal guns off the street, arrested more people for drug violations compared to the same time frame last year.
Our goal is not to arrest our way out of our issues or our problems. Our goal is to make the community as safe as we can make it, and sending a very strong message to those who want to come down to the business core area that we're not going to be tolerant of any illegal or criminal behavior in that area.
Patterson says her department has no plans to back off this increased presence in downtown and Glenwood South. This year, the city is adding more security cameras and upgrading dozens of street lights to make it brighter for people walking around.
The Durham County District Attorney's Office is getting federal funds to get through the rape kit backlog. The office received more than $1 million as part of the National Sexual Assault Kit Initiative. The 3-year grant funds a full-time prosecutor dedicated to cases where sexual assault evidence kits were completed but not tested. In 2017, Durham County law enforcement agencies had nearly 1,800 untested rape kits. The DA's office says all DNA testing kits in Durham County's possession have been submitted to labs for testing.
There is just no way getting around it. The older you are, the more important it is to move. The benefits of exercise and the ideal amount needed to feel results.
Plus, how a missed field goal by the Buffalo Bills kicker is kickstarting donations to a local pet shelter. If you see news happening or you'd like to share a story idea with us, click Report It in the WRL News app.
Southern Pines this noon, the Longleaf Golf and Family Club. Clouds above, but I saw them cutting the grass there this morning and some folks there on the ninth green coming down the ninth fairway. Warm enough for that, certainly. Our Teacher of the Week has been on the job for just a couple years and he's already making a big impression in the classroom. WRL's Brian Schrader heads to Johnston County to honor an elementary educator who loves watching his students grow.
Biography. Real person.
Evan Lemons knows how to get a second grader's attention.
Teach.
But Lemons says this kind of routine is not just about keeping order in the classroom.
The students love kinesthetic motions, and they love putting things, putting motions with words. It also helps them retain information. It helps them build their understanding. What do headings tell us?
Lemons graduated from Appalachian State University, and he's been teaching for 2 years in Johnston County here at Corinth Holders Elementary, home of the Pirates. Lemons says that he loves building relationships with his students.
They're very energetic, and they're very, it's always something new every day. All of the words.
A colleague nominated Lemons, saying that he's dedicated to his students and brings a positive vibe wherever he goes.
I love working at Corinth Holders. Administration is the best. We are the best school in Johnson County, and it's great to be a Pirate.
Hey, you're WRAL's Teacher of the Week. Congratulations. Let's clap our hands for Mr. Lemons. Nice to meet you, too.
Near Archer Lodge in Johnston County, I'm Brian Schrader, WRAL News.
You know, if you'd like to nominate a teacher, you can go to WRL.com and enter Teacher of the Week in the search box. He deserves a hand.
Yes. It's a win-win situation. Customer returns are finding new homes for less. How a business is reselling items that companies cannot return to store shelves.
We just wanted to put it out there, you know, don't bully our friend.
I'd be Will.
And Buffalo Bills kicker Tyler Bass is catching flack for a missed kick. But a New York charity is cashing in on the misfortune. An auction company in Las Vegas is making money selling items that stores can't sell. Victoria Saha talked to the business's owners and grateful customers.
We have a little bit of everything.
From washing machines to ice makers to even an unopened box of Huggies. It's all stacked up in this warehouse.
Our small aisles, so you'll see smaller pieces here. We've had things like iPhones. We've had things like headphones.
Because you know the saying, one man's trash is another man's treasure. Except in this case, it was nowhere near the trash.
They're either returns or shelf pull.
James Orlando and Sandro Zagara are owners of Mobius Auctions. They buy pallets of brand new items from big box stores that are returned but not resellable.
It's not always because something's bad or something's broken. It's because people change their minds.
Meanwhile, if those items are on your mind, you can find them being auctioned off on their website with bids starting at $5.
It's whatever the buyer's willing to pay.
This is a steam closet, also the same situation. It's about $1,300 retail and the gentleman's paying about $200 for it.
The partners started this business from their living room during the pandemic and soon realized they could make a living out of it.
Once we started selling in a consistent rate, we saw that it was something that we could grow, like I said, consistently. And I think that that's what led us to come out and actually think, okay, maybe we can do this.
And now they're helping others like George Chavez, who left the corporate world to buy from auction houses and resell.
The garage doesn't hold cars. It looks like this.
He's even remodeling his bathroom based on what he finds.
Oh, I've saved thousands. We haven't done the remodel yet, but I've got everything for the remodel. I've got two brand new vanities that I've got from auction houses.
Giving a whole new meaning to getting a bang for your buck.
That's Victoria Saha reporting. A New York nonprofit is getting showered in donations in honor of Buffalo Bills kicker Tyler Bass. The kicker has gotten a lot of heat from fans after missing a potential game-tying field goal late in Sunday's divisional round playoff game against the Kansas City Chiefs. The 10 Lives Club is a no-kill cat shelter, which Bass strongly supports. The shelter posted a message on Facebook saying they stand with Tyler.
Leave our friend alone. You know, he's a person. He's a human. And he doesn't deserve any of the hate that's coming his way. And in fact, he's a great guy who loves cats.
In response, thousands of people have donated $22 each to the charity. The amount is based on Bass's jersey, number 2. So far, donations have totaled more than $150,000. The money will go towards saving cat lives.
This Sunday, we'll find out who's going to the Super Bowl, and it all starts with the AFC Championship game. The Kansas City Chiefs take on the Baltimore Ravens Sunday at 3. After that, on Fox 50, the NFC Championship game. The Detroit Lions on the road taking on the San Francisco 49ers. Kickoff is at 6:30 Sunday on Fox 50.
And right now in the WREL Live Center, we're following some breaking news in Wake County off Lumley Road. You can make out a car here in the ravine. Police are on the scene. We're not sure how this car ended up there, but this is Lumley Road in Wake County. You can see a tow truck looks like it just got to the scene. There were officers there. We are working to learn how many people were in that car and if anybody was hurt. We will stay on top of that and bring you more coming up at 4 o'clock. But we're going to toss it outside now. WREL's Elizabeth Gardner is on the WREL weather patio. Cloudy, but nice out there.
It's really feeling great out here right now. I mean, for me, it wouldn't be shorts and T-shirts weather, but, you know, without a jacket, it's very comfortable. And look behind me, the grass. You can see trees are making a little speckled pattern out there. The sun is trying to come out, like, right above me. The sky is blue. Really expecting it to be pretty cloudy today. And I do feel like as our temperatures warm up a little bit, there's enough moisture in the atmosphere right now that those clouds are probably going to fill back in a bit. Take a look at Chapel Hill. Chapel Hill is pretty cloudy right now. Plenty of people, though, running around out there in Chapel Hill enjoying the nice weather. These temperatures are going to feel great for the next few days. Look at what's coming. So here's a look at satellite and radar. And you can see there is a cold front that's crossing the middle of the country right now. There's a lot of thunder and lightning with that. Eventually, when this arrives here on Friday, we have the chance for a few storms. Right now, it doesn't look like we have a huge chance for severe storms, but we're definitely seeing some severe weather in the deep south with that front coming through. We'll see another one that follows it on Saturday night into Sunday. We take a look at future cast again for today. There are going to be some thin spots in the clouds, a little bit of patchy rain back to the west. None of that really makes much of a dent here. Tomorrow morning, we're going to up to cloudy skies. As a matter of fact, we could see some patchy fog tomorrow morning too, as our temperatures are going to be really warm. And then we have a system that makes a run at us at lunchtime Thursday, but then it kind of fizzles out. So a slightly better chance of some showers Thursday, but even then, I mean, it's a 20 to 30% chance. This is Thursday night at midnight with another front coming through, and then we'll push it on ahead and taking it into Friday, at least in the morning, things look just fine. We may end up with some showers late on Friday and certainly into the day on Saturday. We'll take a look at the big picture, and we'll show you what that looks like. We'll pause it there Saturday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. You can see the rain starts to pick up in intensity. We have that warm front across the region. Look at all that rain back into the mountains. That comes pushing across our area around 6 or 7 o'clock, and it continues overnight into early Sunday. But our cold front starts to push out as we get into the day on Sunday by around the middle of that pushes out and we should begin to clear. So the wettest times again are likely to be Friday night into early Saturday and then late Saturday, Saturday night. After that, we cool back down. The mountains may get another dose of snow, which I know the ski resorts will be happy about because this is going to probably, you know, put a little dent in the snow that they have. This is a look at the amount of rainfall that we'll see starting now all the way through or about the middle of the day. Sunday, it's going to be anywhere from 1 inch to 2 inches around the triangle, probably 1.5 to 1.75 inches. Checking out those temperatures again, 67 degrees to 69 degrees. I mean, really looking like it's going to be a pretty warm afternoon for us. A hint of a breeze. Thursday, cloudy skies, 73. Breezy for tomorrow. We'll see some gusting up to 20, 25 miles per hour in the afternoon. A chance of rain late Friday into early Saturday. Again, late Saturday into early Sunday. And then we turn to January. Our temperatures Monday and Tuesday are back into the low 50s.
Thanks, Elizabeth. They say love don't cost a thing, but this Valentine's Day, your date will likely expect a nice gift. Coming up, the average amount your love interest might expect you to spend.
And here's a look at your winning Mega Millions numbers on your screen right now. We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today.
A newly returned search warrant shows what FBI agents found inside the shed where police arrested the suspect in the Raleigh mass shooting. Austin Thompson is accused of killing five people, including a police officer, his own brother, and others on the Greenway in East Raleigh's Headingham neighborhood. Among the items listed, a shotgun, $772 in cash, multiple pistols, projectiles, knives, rifles, rifle magazines, shell casings, ammunition rounds, and bullets.
Sports fans will be legally able to place mobile bets in North Carolina just in time for March Madness. A short time ago, the NC Lottery Commission announced gambling on your phone will start March 11th. Now the attention turns to licensing. Nine operators have submitted applications to take bets in the state. We'll see how many of those licenses are approved ahead of the March 11th date.
We're working to learn more about a mess for drivers in Henderson this morning. At last check, Andrews Avenue is still closed. It was closed all morning. After this happened, it appears a vehicle crashed into a utility pole. This was on Andrews Avenue near Eaton Street. Crews spent the morning working to repair the pole and the downed lines.
There's no magic pill to reverse the aging process, but experts say if you want to stay looking young, you can exercise. Many people are less active as they age, and doctors say older adults should find ways to be active throughout the day.
Dedicating time, purposeful time, to getting some form of aerobic exercise or endurance exercise like walking or cycling or swimming, and also getting some form of strength training is critically important.
Doctors say adding 30 minutes of exercise a day can be beneficial. Higher levels of physical activity benefit muscle strength, bone health, and other bodily functions.
You could say Oreo's new cookies are out of this world. The limited edition Space Dunk cookies have a marshmallow flavor. The blue and magenta cream is infused with popping candies that create a bursting sensation with each bite. The cookies are available for pre-sale today at liftoff.oreo.com. Oreo Space Dunk cookie packs will begin rolling out at retailers starting January 31st for a limited time. Your Valentine's Day date may be expecting you to spend big bucks on them this year. A new survey is showing that people expect their significant other to spend an average of $158 on gifts this Valentine's Day. 21% of people say they also feel obligated to spend more than they can afford. Another survey shows that the average cost for Valentine's Day dinner could cost nearly $150.
Don't forget those furry Valentines either. Our pet of the day comes to us from Cat Angels. While he may be a little timid at first, Lancelot is a sweet and gentle boy. Loves to be close, loves belly rubs, and just purrs and purrs when he feels safe. Lancelot has high blood pressure, which is controlled with two inexpensive medications that he will eagerly take in pill form. If you'd like to learn more about him, you can visit the Cat Angels website. And if you'd like to meet him in person, you can fill out an adoption application and do that.
Oh, such a sweet face.
Stunning, yeah.
NBC News Daily is next on WREL. Your next local news update in 30 minutes.
Get out there and enjoy some of this nice weather. Get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app. And have a good one.